This is Cicely Tyson. Each of us has a self-image that we think we project or would like to project. And each of us has a character, which is what we really are. And that character is formed not by what we think, but by what we do. Character is action, said Aristotle. And it is our actions that ultimately define us as heroes or cowards, or as just ordinary human beings caught in the eternal struggle between aspiration and circumstances.
Hands ignorant of the promise made on our behalf climb blindly towards the light, bearing a soul we have forgotten the effort of our labors and the heartbreak of routine. The light is closer now, but the eyes have grown dim. The air is pure, but the breath is rank. And still the hands reach upwards for that burning second of utter peace.
Jimmy, that's beautiful.
You think so?
Oh, I'm sure you could be a really wonderful poet if you could only get away from this place.
Yeah, well, that's easier said than done, isn't it?
Alone, yes. But maybe we could make it if we went together.
A poor kid from the streets and a rich girl who has been sheltered from life's realities by a protective father. Opposites, but with one thing in common, an awakening desire to fly. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Poems for Sale by Percy Grainger. Our stars, Robert Towers, Noel North, Les Tremaine, and Virginia Gregg.
This is, a poet once said, a world we never made, perhaps. But it's the only world we've got, and we have to make what we can of it. The year of our story is 1934. The place, a large city teeming with the fortunate and the not so fortunate. It is the time of the Great Depression. Millions of people are struggling just to survive, and they will do almost anything. We're in a city park.
Poems for sale. Have your future told in verse for only a dime.
For a dime, I could get 2 apples.
Hey, what'd you sneak up on me for?
Why the migration, kid?
What do you mean?
Why'd you move your poetry operation into the park? The street corner not classy enough for you?
I just like it better, okay? It's prettier.
Prettier? All these leaves and stuff gives you inspiration?
Oh, take a flyer, Foggy.
Oh, such language from the immortal bard.
Well, just give me the money and beat it, okay? Come on, no one's looking.
There. That's $2,462 after my cut in the bookies' commissions. And when Weasel comes for it, there better be exactly that amount.
I don't steal anything.
Ooh, I ain't worried about you stealing nothing. I just don't want you adding any of those dimes you get for your versifications.
Very funny.
Hey, kid, you know what your problem is. You're mixed up with the wrong kind of people. You keep this up and you'll never write the great American poem. When you're 50 like me, you'll be lucky if you can get a job writing verses for a greeting card company.
Ellison? Ellison, honey?
Mr. Carmichael, is that you?
It is, Mrs. Morgan.
Well, we weren't expecting you home till this evening.
The state assembly adjourned earlier than expected. Ellison?
Oh, congratulations. We read in the paper this morning about...
We? What do you mean? You allowed my daughter to see a newspaper?
I meant I read about your success in defeating that new bill that would have legalized betting.
A thing like that could rend the very fabric of our society.
I paraphrased it to Allison just as I paraphrase any news that is fit for a young girl to hear.
Which is precious little in these unrestrained times. Where is she? Why hasn't she come down to kiss me?
Well, if the truth be known...
The truth is always better known, Mrs. Morgan.
Well, I let her take her book to the park.
The public park?
It's such a lovely spring day.
We have a perfectly serviceable garden for just such meteorological occurrences.
I escorted her, but I had to come back to tell the cook about dinner.
You mean she's there by herself?
It's so lonely for her in this house during the week when you're at the Capitol.
Am I to infer from that this is not the first time you have permitted this?
She is under strict orders to stay within sight of the house at all times. And I've assigned Jackson to man the second-story balcony to keep an eye on her.
Every week I have to fend off yet another assault from the decadent permissive forces in the state legislature, Mrs. Morgan, who would legalize everything. And I will not come home on weekends to find these same forces rampant in my own house.
Sir, we must have a talk about Allison. She is no longer a child. She is 17 years old. She is going to college next fall, and she must be prepared.
For what? I had that school thoroughly checked out.
I mean in general. She's led a far too sheltered life. Why, her entire knowledge of the world comes from those romantic novels she's always reading.
Is that a disparaging reference to the taste for classical literature I've cultivated in her?
No, sir, it is not. But she must come to know the world not only as it ought to be, but... as it is.
I see no reason for that.
For her own happiness.
Reality, happiness, you contradict yourself.
I mean, so that she may not be too severely disillusioned.
My daughter will never be disillusioned.
And there's another thing. Allison is... well, she's becoming a woman.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt, Mrs. Morgan, and assume that you are referring only to the fact that she is getting older.
I am not.
In that case, I think this conversation has gone on long enough. I love Allison. She is my entire life. Bring her home from that public park at once.
Yes, Senator.
Mrs. Morgan, I know you love Allison, too. You've been a devoted governess and companion to her ever since her mother died. And I am deeply grateful.
Thank you, sir. But that does not alter the fact that sooner or later, she will find out about the world... despite your efforts.
Poems for sale. Buy your fortune in verse. Only 10 cents.
Excuse me?
You want a poem?
I don't know. It's just that I've been watching you all afternoon.
Huh? What for?
I've never met a real poet before.
Yeah? Well, my name's Jimmy. Guess what? You still haven't met a real poet.
But you write.
Yeah, look, you want to buy, put your money down. Otherwise, step aside for the teeming multitudes.
You have a storm-tossed soul, just like Lord Byron.
What, are you nuts or something?
You also haven't sold a poem in 2 hours. You labor in obscurity like all great writers.
You're not far off the mark there. I'm sorry, I've got no call to be rude. Especially to a cute skirt like you. What's your name anyway?
My name is Allison.
There's a bit of the poet and a bit of the madman in all of us, goes the old saying. But in the young man in the park, it seems there's a bit of the poet and a bit of the criminal. And his poetry is only fortune-telling in rhyme, hardly the noblest expression of a poet's vision. But it has been enough to entrance the shy young girl sitting beneath a nearby tree, her eyes unable to keep from wandering up from her book. And she has taken the most daring step of her young life, little knowing the complex consequences that are about to ensue. For this is a time of the Great Depression, and hungry men will do almost anything.
Allison, huh? That's pretty.
It means truth. I think the truth is very important, don't you?
Of course I do. Allison, what?
I don't have a last name.
Oh, come on. Everyone's got two monikers.
Last names aren't important. None of the great heroines of literature had last names. Beatrice, Francesca, Isolde.
What about Juliet? She had one.
Yes, but her name led to tragedy, and that's so sad. What's your name?
Jimmy Malloy.
Oh, that's beautiful, too. I'm reading The Ring of the Nibelung. It's the love story of Sigmund and Sieglinde. Have you ever read it?
No, I haven't.
Here, let me give it to you.
Why?
I want you to have it.
Gee, this is a nice book. It's bound in real leather.
Do you write real poetry? I mean, besides telling fortunes?
Yeah, I try.
Would you read me some?
What are you, a masochist?
I mean, really?
Sure. Hey, where do you live?
In that house over there, just across the street from the park.
That mansion? Well, what are you, the maid?
No, I mean, I live there.
Oh.
Can I tell you a secret? I'm having an adventure. Do you know what an adventure is? It's when you don't know how something is going to end.
Allison!
Oh, that's Mrs. Morgan. She's my governess.
You have a governess?
Allison!
I've got to go. She'll be very angry I've talked to you, but I don't care. We'll find some way to meet again, won't we?
I'm sorry, dear. He took us all completely by surprise coming home from the capital early.
Mrs. Morgan, you've got to promise me you won't say anything about the boy I was talking to, will you?
No, of course not. But we really must be more careful in the future. Here's your father now.
Allison?
Hello, Daddy.
You were in the public park.
I was reading.
Reading? That's all?
The Ring of the Nibelung.
I see. Where's the book?
What?
May I see the book?
Oh, I forgot.
There you are, Mrs. Morgan. You see what your enlightened policies have led to? My own daughter is lying to me. Jackson was watching from the second-story balcony and saw you in conversation with a common peddler.
He isn't a peddler. He's a poet.
And he saw him take your book.
He didn't take it. I gave it to him.
The facts remain you have lied to me and you have broken my strict rule against talking to strangers.
Sometimes it can be very lucky to talk to a stranger.
Child.
No, I'm not a child and I won't continue to be treated like one.
Go to your room.
It's not like he was a criminal. He's a real poet.
Go to your room.
All right.
Really, sir, you must accept the fact that sooner or later you are going to have to let her go.
I will not.
And if you do not wish to lose her altogether, you cannot be so strict. She'll only rebel more, and it's human nature. Go up and talk to her.
Go to my room like a child. What's that? Who's there? My window. Oh, it's my poet.
Hi.
How did you get to my balcony?
I climbed the vines, just like Romeo, huh?
Oh, I knew we'd see each other again.
Yeah, well, you ran off before I could write you a poem.
Write me?
Your fortune in verse. Here. Well, go on, read it.
Where last you looked, there first you'll see. What first you feel will lasting be, but brief and never fully known, your waking be your eternity. Oh, it's beautiful. It sounds so sad.
Can I see you again?
I don't know. My father doesn't let me go out alone.
I mix on your old man. I live over on Crawford Street.
That's a very poor section of town. Do you live in a garret?
Well, I wouldn't exactly call a cold water tenement a garret, but... Oh, come on over. Just ask anyone to point out the building. They all know me.
Well...
I'll read you some of my real poetry if you do.
Oh, someone's at the door.
Allison.
Oh, it's my father. You've got to go.
Not till you say you'll come.
Allison.
Yes, I will come. Goodbye. Come in. Yes, Daddy?
Honey, I'm sorry I was angry with you just now. Can you forgive an old man who loves not wisely but too well?
Daddy, you're not old.
But you are. At least you're older than I guess I want to admit.
Oh. I'm so happy. He wrote me a poem.
Who did?
The poet in the park. Do you want to read it?
No.
I'll read it to you.
Give that to me. Put that unwashed scribbler out of your mind and wash up for dinner.
Yes, Daddy. I'll be right down.
Where's Allison? The soup will get cold.
Oh, I'll just run upstairs and hurry her along.
Rupert?
Yes, sir?
Have them take the soup back to the kitchen to keep warm. We will not begin until we are three at table.
Very good, sir.
Mr. Commager! Mr. Commager, she's gone.
What?
Allison, she's not in her room. A window is open and she's gone.
Story about the years of the Great Depression takes us now to the darker side of town, where the streets are narrower, the people more numerous, where ragged children play in the rubble-strewn lots and danger can lurk in the shadows of the tenements. Allison Commager has run off from her father's mansion in search of Jimmy Malloy, the young boy who has captured her imagination and maybe her heart.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Crawford Street.
Yeah, you're there.
Do you know Jimmy Malloy?
Jimmy?
He told me to ask anyone on Crawford Street.
Yeah, you see that building right over there? That's where they live.
They?
And him and his father.
Oh, thank you. Thanks very much.
Jimmy, lad, is that you?
Hi, Dad.
And how was the poultry business today, eh?
60 cents.
Did you get the sausage for dinner?
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Well, it's a grand poet you ought to be someday. You've got the head in the clouds part of a down pat.
It wasn't poetry this time, Dad. I met someone.
Oh, a girl or a publisher?
Oh, skip it. It's not going to lead to anything. Has Weasel come yet?
No, he don't come till 8. It's barely 7:30. Did you get the daily take from Froggy today?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, $2,462.
Ah, look at all that green. The color of Ireland's hills.
Let it alone.
Do you think they'd miss the quarter it'd take to buy a bucket of beer at Shaughnessy's saloon, son?
Do you want me to be a runner for that mob for the rest of my life?
Ah, Jimmy.
You try to run off with their money once, that's the only debt I'm working off.
I know. I've got the mark of Cain upon me. I always seem to do the wrong thing.
Ah, forget it.
There's no justice in a world that lets a brilliant boy like you get saddled with a weather-beaten old shack of a man like me.
Skip the litany, Dad, okay? I'm going up on the roof to read.
Say, hey, that's a dandy-looking book you got there. Hey, let me see it, though. The Ring of the what?
Nibelung.
I've never seen anything but a Bible bound so grand. Where'd you get it?
Just give it back.
Ah, it's from a girl, huh? The girl you met, eh? Is this her name on the fly sheet? Allison Commager?
Yes.
Seems to me I've seen that name before. In the society columns of the newspaper when I bothered to read them.
Probably. You ought to see the house they live in. Yeah, but don't starve yourself waiting for a dinner invitation.
Now, wait a minute. It's coming back to me. Her father is John Commager, the state senator. Oh, you picked a Lulu.
Why?
Don't you know who John Commager is? He's a leader of the conservative reform movement. He's vowed to wipe out the mob and every vestige of crime in the state. Can you see the look on his face if he knew his daughter was sweet on a mob runner?
Oh, boy. I was right, wasn't I? It's just like Romeo and Juliet.
That must be Weasel now. Wait till he hears about this.
Wait, what, are you crazy? Just keep your mouth shut, okay? What if he took it wrong and thought I was up to something?
Now, come on in and get your blood money, you... Oh, hello there.
Is this where Jimmy Malloy lives?
Allison?
Oh, the plot thickens.
How did you get here?
I asked people, like you said.
Dad, this is Allison.
So I gather, so... Phineas J.P. Malloy, miss. At your service. The J.P. don't stand for nothing. Me mother threw it in thinking it might someday make me as rich as J.P. Morgan, to whom she always claimed we was distantly related.
I'm delighted to meet you.
Ah, never compliment the cook till you've tasted the sauce.
How did you get away?
I went out my window and climbed down the vines.
Well, now, this calls for a celebration, don't you think? Jimmy, run down to Shaughnessy's saloon and bring us a bucket of beer.
No.
Oh, just this once.
No, Dad, please. What's she gonna think?
My son's right, Miss Commager. Drink is the ruin and inspiration of all our tribe. Why, it was the great thirst that was the mainstay of my decline, for which my son...
Dad,
is old...
Dad, please. Put a manhole cover on it, okay? Come on, Allison, let's go up on the roof.
I think your father is charming.
No, by all means, you two go up and be alone. I'll just go out and get the pork sausage, eh? Have you had dinner, Miss Conniger?
Dad, she doesn't want pork sausage.
I'd love pork sausage, Mr. Malloy.
Then pork sausage it is. And don't worry about Weasel, son. I'll give him the receipts and have him on his way in 2 shakes of a dead lamb's tail. That is. Go on.
We'll go up on the fire escape?
It's the only way.
Oh, I don't mind. I think it's exciting.
Come in. Hello, Weasel.
It's about time. Where's the kid?
He's up on the roof. The money's on the table there.
Let's see. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. What's so funny?
Jimmy's got a girlfriend.
Good. You can use the exercise.
And do you know who she is?
The DA.
Almost. The daughter of that racket-busting senator, John Commager.
Hey, what kind of a joke is that?
It's no joke. She's up on the roof with him right now.
Your boy's mixed up with Commager's kid?
Eh? Ain't that something?
Yeah.
So look now, why don't you just do the lad a good turn, eh?
What do you mean?
He's run for you long enough, ain't he? When are you going to let him off the hook, eh?
Does Commager know about this?
No. She's here on the sly. Look, me boy's paid for his father's sins long enough, hasn't he? Let him go now so he can make something of himself.
Yeah, I'll give that some real thought. But in the meantime, why don't you get him to lay off that girl, okay?
Sure, Weasel, sure.
And look, it's getting dark. Maybe I ought to see that she gets home safely.
You?
Hey, I do a great imitation of a nice guy. Just get it down here.
Hello? Yes, this is Senator Commager. Have you found my daughter yet, Captain? Well, then, damn it, double the patrols. I don't have to tell you how dangerous it is out there. Yes.
Sir Allison is back.
Is she all right?
She seemed quite well.
Where is she?
I've taken her to her room.
I want to see her at once. What's the matter?
Well, there's a man here.
A man?
The man who brought her home. He wants to see you.
For a reward, no doubt. No one does anything these days without expectation of gain. Very well. Send him in and leave us alone.
You may go in.
Good evening, Senator.
Weasel! What the hell are you doing here? I told you never to come here.
I'm sorry, John, but it seems like we got a little problem on our hands.
Cicely Tyson again. And here's the fourth act of our Depression-era story, Poems for Sale.
Weasel, I told you never to come here. What if someone saw you?
Hey, that's not a very nice way to greet one of the boys who keeps your campaign coffers filled, Senator. And by the way, thanks for your efforts to defeat that bill to legalize betting. It would have meant the end of our profitable little organization.
What do you want?
Didn't that lady tell you? Brought your daughter home. I found her in a very unsavory section of the city over on Crawford Street.
What was she doing there?
Seems she's gone kind of sweet on this kid.
You mean the kid who peddles poetry in the park?
Yeah, only he ain't just any kid. He's one of my runners.
What?
You remember Phineas Malloy, that sad sack that crossed us a few years ago? Took it on the lam with several thousand that he'd managed to spend by the time we caught up with him? Well, it's his boy.
Common criminal.
So anyway, look, the kid's working for me, and I don't want him getting restless, if you know what I mean. And you want your kid kept ignorant of all this, so, why don't you keep her under wraps or send her on a trip around the world or something until this little passion of theirs blows over?
That's a good idea. The Normandy sails tomorrow night. I'll bet I can still book passage for her and Mrs. Morgan. And the boy. I want him killed.
What?
Get him away from my daughter. Kill him!
Hey, he's not a bad kid. There's no need to go that far.
Allison was at his place tonight?
Yeah, but they weren't doing anything worth putting to music.
I'll give you $10,000 to see the job is done and no more questions.
Okay, okay. Tomorrow night, when I go by to pick up the receipts, I'll take him for a little walk up on the roof. It's too bad, though. Best cover we ever had. It's poems for sale.
Just make sure the job is done.
Poems for sale. Have your future told in verse. Only a dime.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I got a hole in the bottom of my shoe.
It's okay, Froggy. Nothing's getting to me today.
Hey, why don't you tell me my fortune? Here's my dime in advance.
Your future isn't worth a dime.
I know. Small-time hustler like me. Sooner or later, I'm going to make the wrong person angry, and bang, that'll be it. No tombstone, no nothing. Cops won't even waste their time looking for the guy that did it. They'll just make out the report and say, died of lead poisoning, too bad, next case.
Oh, never mind that. You got the money?
Yeah. It was a good day today. $3,700.
Okay, beat it. I'm expecting someone.
Now, is that any way to talk to a fellow employee?
Listen, I'm going to be out of this racket as soon as my dad's square with them.
Are you kidding? You really think they're going to let you go?
What do you mean?
Once they got their hooks in you, that's it. You'll never be free unless you got the moxie to make a run for it. And I mean a long run.
Jimmy!
Allison?
Oh, I didn't think that man was ever going to leave. Who is he?
Never mind about him. I never saw him before.
Oh, but he was talking to you yesterday. I saw him.
Well, he's a friend of mine who just enlightened me on something.
What?
Look, Allison, I know we haven't known each other very long, but only a dummy takes forever to figure out how he feels. What I'm trying to say is, I gotta get out of here, and I want you to come with me.
But Daddy's sending me to Europe, and the boat sails tonight.
You can't go.
I have to.
Why?
Because Daddy says so.
But I love you.
Oh, and I love you, too. Oh, I knew this would be beautiful and end tragically.
It's not going to end. You're coming with me, and we'll get as far away from this city as we possibly can, and start our own life together.
How could we live?
I've got money. Lots of it. Nearly $4,000.
You do? Where did you get it?
A publisher. There's a publisher who's going to publish my work. He gave it to me as an advance.
Oh, Jimmy, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you really are a great poet.
Look. Can you get away and be at our place tonight by 7:30 at the latest?
I don't know, Jimmy. I can't hurt my father. He's so good and kind. All the things he's done for me. I just can't desert him.
Look, you've got to lead your own life.
Oh. Maybe if you two could meet. Daddy's the best man in the whole world, and I'm sure if he got to know you, he'd accept you.
Are you kidding? A guy like that? A senator and all who believes in the law? What's he going to let his daughter marry a guy like me for?
What do you mean?
Look, someday I'll tell you, but right now it doesn't matter. Please tell me you won't go off to Europe.
Oh, well, I'm only going to be with Mrs. Morgan. It would be easy to slip away from her at the pier.
I'll go down right now to the train station and get 3 tickets on the Silver Chief.
3?
Oh, my father's got to come with us. He has to. I can't leave him here.
Oh, I don't know, Jim.
I've got to buy the tickets with this money I got, Allison. And if I do, you got to come.
I don't know, Jimmy. I don't know.
Are the trunks all packed, Mrs. Morgan?
They are, sir.
Good. Is Jackson with Allison in her room?
I've told him to bring her down. Oh, here she is now.
Ah, well, my dear, are you all set for your grand tour of Europe?
Yes, Daddy.
Well, then let's be off.
You're coming with us?
Well, only as far as the pier.
I thought you had a dinner party.
I did, but I've canceled. It's much more important to me to be with you until the last possible moment.
Dad? Pack your suitcase.
Yeah. What for?
We're going on a trip. Look.
Train tickets.
3 first-class berths on the Silver Chief. We're getting out of this city, Dad. We're getting as far out of it as we can go.
Wait a minute now. Who's that 3rd ticket for?
Allison. No, come on. There isn't much time. We've got to get out of here before Weasel shows up.
Son, how did you pay for those tickets?
How do you think?
You used the mob's money?
Like father, like son, okay? Now, come on.
You remember what happened to me.
So this time they won't catch us. What time is it?
Yes, nearly 7:30.
Where's Allison? I told her to be here.
All visitors ashore, all persons not sailing on the Normandy, please make your way ashore. Sailing is in 10 minutes.
You two better hurry or you'll miss the boat.
Allison, what's the matter?
Nothing. I thought I dropped something.
Well, come on. Come on, dear.
All right. Oh, no. I did drop something.
What?
My purse. I dropped my purse.
But it's right on your arm. Allison! Allison, come back here.
What happened?
I don't know. She just took off into the crowd.
Allison? Oh, damn. We'll never find her.
Last call for passengers sailing on board the Normandy.
Where on earth could she have gone?
I think I know the answer to that. Oh, good Lord, what time is it?
7:40.
Oh, my God.
What?
I've got to catch her. What the hell was that address? Crawford Street. Malloy. Phineas Malloy.
Should I call the police?
No, by no means call the police. They must not be involved.
It's almost 8 o'clock, son.
She'll be here. I know she'll be here.
Did she actually say she'd be here?
She said... No, she didn't. She said she didn't know.
You went and bought those tickets and you're not even sure she'll show up.
I know she will. And if she doesn't, then I don't care anyway.
Yeah, what about me? Now, I care. Oh, merciful saints in heaven, who's that?
Jimmy?
It's her.
Jimmy, I almost couldn't get here. Daddy decided to come with us to the pier.
Okay, we've got to go right away.
I have to let Daddy know that I'm all right.
You can give him a call from the station. Dad, you've got your bag? Mm.
That's Weasel, son.
Allison, go in the other room.
Why?
Just go. And shut the door.
Jimmy!
It's all right. It's just someone I've got to talk to for a minute. What am I going to do, Dad?
I don't know, but I sure wish I had a drink.
Let's get it over with. Hi, Weasel.
Hi, kid. Evening, Phineas.
The money's there on the table.
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter? You still don't trust me?
Yeah, maybe I will trust you this time, seeing how you... It's going to be your last.
Jimmy, he's got a gun!
Hey, well, what's the rod for, Weasel?
You've been hanging out with the wrong kind of people, kid. And I got orders from an interested party to terminate the relationship.
What wrong people? I haven't been to the cops.
I mean that girl. But Dad's real jumpy about your little romance on account of the fact that he's got a vested interest in our operation.
Senator Cummager?
He's our man at the state capitol. How do you think he pays for that fancy mansion over by the park? Out of his senator's salary? He's in with the mob so thick it ain't funny. And he don't want his little girl tainted. Get the picture? Hey, who's in that room?
Allison, stay back.
Is that true, what you just said?
Holy suffering cats, what's she doing here?
Stop, Weasel!
Who's coming up the stairs?
Weasel! Please, call the cops!
Okay, girl, come over here.
You leave her alone, Weasel?
Weasel, stop! Don't hurt Allison!
Then step out of the way, Senator. I'm taking your kid as my ticket to get out of here.
Let go of her! Don't touch her!
Daddy! Daddy!
All right, police. Hold it right there, all of you. Drop the gun, mister.
Allison! Oh, Mrs. Morgan!
I called the police. I didn't know what was happening. Oh,
Daddy! Oh. Daddy is dead!
Okay, now. Somebody want to tell me what this is all about?
By your deeds shall ye be known. Senator Cummager led a double life, truth and illusion. And in the end, the truth caught up with him. But what happened to our other characters, Jimmy and Allison, and old Phineas? Well, it seems that in the confusion following the senator's shooting, everyone forgot about the money Weasel was supposed to collect. Everyone, of course, except our three friends.
A first-class ticket. On a first-class train in the United States of America. Son, the old mother wouldn't believe it.
Now, sit down, Dad. We're on our way.
Jimmy, was everything that man said about my father true?
Oh, young lady, the papers have been full of it. Now look here. Look here at this headline. Senator has feet of clay.
Dad, just put that paper away, all right? Allison doesn't need to see that.
Oh, yes, I do. From now on, I'm going to read the papers myself. And I'm going to keep my eyes open and let them see as far as they can see.
Remember my poem to you. Where last you looked, there first you'll see. What first you feel will lasting be. But brief and never fully known, your waking be your eternity.
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Poems for Sale, was written by Percy Grainger and produced and directed by Ken McManus. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Robert Towers, Noel North, Les Tremaine, and Virginia Gray. Featured in the cast were Sidney Miller, Vic Perrin, and Frank Campanella. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Sears, a name that means quality and value, a name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Leonard Nimoy, inviting you to join us tomorrow at the same time in the name of action and adventure and surprise.
Thank you.